Penguin Random House Audio presents A Curse of Krakens by Kevin Hearn. Read for you by Exe Sands and Luke Daniels. Note to listeners. This audiobook includes a downloadable PDF containing the Dramatis Personae, chronological timeline, Kaurian calendar, and maps from the printed book. To Chuck and Delilah, and everyone who hopes to breathe peace. Day 40. Sage and Sprout.
Somewhat unusually, I had a morning meeting scheduled with the bard to record the previous day's tales. Fintan had heard about a place that was new to us both, an inn on the north side of town that the shingle proclaimed to be the Gasping Gills. That caused me to wonder what sort of air quality I might find inside. But as I saw no one staggering out, coughing or wheezing, or indeed gasping, I figured I could risk it. The interior proved to be much more pleasant than I expected, because I thought there'd be fish heads strewn about and vomit stains on the floor. That's the power of names. But the tables and floor were spotless, and there were small vases with wildflowers quivering in them from a gentle breeze wafting through the place. There was a large fire in the hearth for heat, but they'd designed the building with some Kaurian touches regarding the air circulation, which meant that it was probably the best possible place to spend time indoors when it was still chilly out in the mornings. Fintan was at a table along the western wall, equidistant from the hearth and the door, and they had bench seating, which gave my bad knee a bit of trouble. Once I groaned and eased myself into place, Fintan apologized and said we'd not meet there again.
"There's no need for you to be inconvenienced, Dervin," he said. "There are plenty of places that have heard of chairs."
A young woman came out from the kitchen with tea and beamed at us as she put down the pot and cups and saucers.
"Morning, man. Here for breakfast?"
"Sounds fabulous," I said. "What's on the menu?"
"Oh, I just told you the whole thing, love. We have breakfast. It's chef's choice these days, and we don't have a lot of choice, you know. We take what we can get."
"Fair enough. I think we'll have breakfast, then." Fintan nodded enthusiastically.
"Can't wait."
"Thank you." Her smile widened.
"No complaints. Oh, I like you two. Coming right up."
"The shortages are becoming worrisome," Fintan said as she departed. "But I think the element of surprise is a bit fun. Breakfast could be brilliant."
"Or it could be a horrific sludge of porridge."
"True, but I find hopeful anticipation to be quite nourishing."
He poured us each a cup of tea, the steam swirling attractively above them, and asked if I wanted to get right to work or to relax a bit.
"No, we can get started," I said.
But I'd no sooner gotten out my pen and ink than we were interrupted by the arrival of a Raelic courier and another bard. I recognized the stones on her geriband and realized I'd never seen two bards together before. She introduced herself as Emer and said she'd come to share many developments in Garonne Nent. Fintan's eyes widened in delight.
"You have updates on Hanuma Banduri and Tamen Katri?"
"Yes, but more important, Pen Yas Ben Min."
"Pen! The cousin of Nelkit Ben Sa?"
"The very same. If I'm correct, she's going to be one of the most famous Fornish people in history."
"Seriously? She was just a kid, newly blessed."
"Aye, but blessed is a green sleeve.
You're going to want to hear this."
"Absolutely."
Fintan turned to me.
"Dervin, my apologies, but this sounds like something I must hear sooner rather than later. We can catch up another time, right?"
"Of course, but I have a question.
Why are you here? I asked Emer. Somewhat taken aback, she extended an index finger toward her countryman.
To update Fintan.
Yes, but why?
The Triune Council ordered it. I've spent some time in Talalafuz, where much has been happening. When I returned recently to Rael and reported what I learned to them, they said Brynlun must know also, and I was to repeat everything to Fintan so he could include it in his tale of the Giant Wars.
His tale is something the Triune Council is so concerned about that they'd send you here with a courier to update him?
It is.
Again, why? It seems like an extraordinary expenditure of your resources. Fintan answered for her.
You and I haven't gotten to the part where the council ordered me here, but we will soon. Suffice to say that they feel this tale is important for both our nations, and a key part of Rael's support for Brynlun.
Ymir nodded.
And of course they're aware that you're writing it down, Master Dualibar, adding your own historical notes, and they are hopeful they'll get to read the completed version someday as a joint project between allied nations.
I wasn't so sure they'd be thrilled to read my additions, where I was supposed to counter Fintan as a suspected spy, all while we'd had a bone giant operating as our master of spies for years. And he'd painted a target on Clodagh's back and pointed me at her like a weapon, assuming I'd want to avenge my wife's supposed assassination at her hands. I knew now that the Wraith had fed me lies, of course, but that didn't change the fact that much of what I'd written might be incredibly embarrassing to us, and to me, personally. Or it might bring a refreshing chance for honesty and dialogue and allow us to move forward together more productively. I couldn't know for sure. But one way or another, Pelennaut Rolland would eventually have to answer for some questionable choices he'd made. Answer to Rael, of course, but also answer to me. Very well. I assume you'll be occupied for some time.
Yes, there is much to share.
I'll leave you to it then, and I'll see you on the wall later, Fintan. You can have my breakfast, Emer. I'll grab something elsewhere. That freed up my morning, and I decided to spend it trying to hunt down either Rolly or his lung, Foster de Bertram, to get some answers regarding the intelligence I'd received yesterday from Dame Nissa Duvalis. Namely, that Serena's assassination had come at the hands of the Nentian ambassador, Jacindur Torgala, whom Rolly had expelled, and that her poisoning had been ordered by none other than the shit-snake Meleshev Lomet, former viceroy of Hashenkek and current monarch of Garona Nent. Rolly had known both of those facts and hadn't told me. He'd even sent a hygienist to Garona Nent recently who might wind up curing the loathsome murderer of his wasting disease. Nissa had explained that the ambassador had to be expelled for something else to keep her role in the embassy a secret. But that didn't explain why these secrets had been kept from me, especially when Rolly had a month's worth of opportunities to tell me and chose instead to let me believe the Wraith's lie, that Clodagh had something to do with it. Unless Dame Nissa wasn't who she said she was at all, and everything she told me was a fabrication. I supposed I'd need to confirm her identity and her story, but it had the ring of plausibility to it, whereas anything from the Wraith had to be suspect. I needed to see either the Pelennaut or the Lung to ascertain whether this was true. My attempts to gain an audience, however, were curtly rebuffed at the palace. Both men were impossibly busy, and no matter how important I thought my news, They simply could not see me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?